Coming up on today's show.
I love the idea of, if there's any cause within my faith, what is the one thing that, if I could make people more aware of it, that it would make the greatest impact? The Eucharist, I think, is that thing.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. One of the actions you can take there is to sign up for free for the weekly Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter. In addition, at the top of the website, there are links to social media for this show, meaning Facebook, Twitter, well, the person that you've heard me say that I'm having to pay to keep up the website recently changed away from the Twitter bird to the X logo. Instagram is there, a link to YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show in any of those ways. In addition, the Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group, which consists of listeners of the show and some past guests. That is also free to join, and you can find a link for that as well on CatholicSportsRadio.net. And of course, keep in mind that social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. We saw some interesting results in the first weekend of the NFL playoffs. Not too many would admit it, but certainly there were some fans who quietly felt deep down that their team couldn't pull it off. Heck, right here in Tampa Bay, my beloved Buccaneers were playing at home against the defending NFC champion Philadelphia Eagles and were underdogs. That means that the odds makers just didn't believe they could pull out a victory. You have to wonder if the psychology there would lead to showing underdog status, influencing fans to doubt their own team's chances. Don't we do this in our faith life, too? Things look grim, and we think that God has forgotten about us, or that he is punishing us, or that he doesn't love us due to something we did. We think that there is nothing we can say to bring about hope, and that would be wrong. Thanks to the sacrament of reconciliation, this is all told to us in the New Testament, where in Romans chapter 10, it says in verse 10, quote, "For one believes with the heart, and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is in the middle of completing 3 ultramarathons in 30 days. The last one will be at the end of this month and is being called an Adoration Ultra, which will start in Mass, then Adoration, and then running to other Catholic churches and spending time in Adoration at those. He currently owns 1 course record for most amount of miles ran in 24 hours at 103.5. In his days as a student athlete, he competed in JV football, JV soccer, varsity wrestling, and ran cross country. In the case of the latter, he was team captain, and the team finished 3rd in the state, and he got scouted by some smaller colleges. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Jimmy Coleman.
Thank you, Bruce. This is actually my first time finding out about the group that you have for the people that are on the show. I'm definitely going to check that out. I've already joined the Life Runners team. I have the jersey and everything, so I've made friends with some of the past guests. I'm excited to check that out.
Outstanding. Outstanding. I'm excited to have you on the show. You have a unique, current, active story that truly is the mix of faith and sports. But before we get to that, where were you born and raised, and what was the family size?
Sure. I was born in Frederick, Maryland. I'm the youngest of 4 children.
And where are you in the 4, and what's the boy-girl breakdown?
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, I'm the youngest of 4, and 2 boys and 2 girls.
Oh, okay, okay. I don't know why I'm second-guessing myself here, but I'm pretty sure you are a cradle Catholic, yes?
Yes, I was raised Catholic, and, you know, in my 20s, had some time of exploration that I'm sure we'll touch on. But yes, I was born and raised Catholic with 2 parents that still practicing Catholics, still love each other, and yeah.
Let's throw in a plug for them. How long have they been married?
Oh my gosh. All right. So I should know. It's maybe 20, 30 something years. I don't know the exact math, but to give them a proper plug, when I became a parent, that's the time more than any other time that I realized just how privileged I was to come from the family that I have. Many people don't have parents that are still together. And of those people, many of them don't have parents that still want to be together. And I have two parents that genuinely love each other. It's not fake. It's not for the Instagram. Even when they visit us, because we live almost 5 hours away from them, they make sure they carve out time for themselves to go out on a little date every time that they visit us. And so, yeah, they genuinely enjoy each other. And that's one of the best gifts that you can give your children, is an example of a happy marriage. So,
yeah, indeed. Indeed. You took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say, what a beautiful example that they're setting. In the intro, I read off a bunch of sports that you played in your days as a student athlete. Who got you into playing sports, and what was your inspiration for competing in those sports that I did mention?
That's a good question. So growing up in Maryland, there was a guy that was the quarterback of the high school I would have gone to. His name is Zach Mills. And that high school ended up winning like four state championships back to back. It was really, really successful school. Then he became the starting quarterback for Penn State. And ever since, I've been a Penn State fan. And this guy was someone I really looked up to. And what's also cool about him is he never like made mistakes. He was a good human as well, as far as I could see. And I think that was a big piece of my inspiration. I didn't see a lot of people achieving things to that level, much outside of his success there. And I think that's part of what inspired me to want to be great, and specifically want to be great at sports.
By any chance, was that school that he attended, or were any of the schools that you attended Catholic, or were they all public?
No, Catholic schools weren't really an option. So by the time I was 8 years old, we moved to Virginia, and then a couple years later, moved to a really small town in Virginia, and there weren't any Catholic schools around. So it's funny now, growing up, and a lot of my friends are Catholic, and almost all of them went to Catholic schools, but it really wasn't even an option where I was.
Now, all that being said, though, when it came time for your confirmation, I don't want to steal your thunder, so share with the audience how you combined faith and sports come confirmation time.
Yeah, honestly, that one was a bit of a no-brainer. So I chose St. Sebastian as my patron saint because, really, I loved sports growing up. It was always my dream to be a professional athlete in some sport. And what ended up happening around, you know, when high school was over, the clock just kind of ran out. And maybe that was my backdoor excuse for not accomplishing what I set out to accomplish, is just, you know, time ran out or whatever. I kind of gave up sports for a little bit post-high school, but my senior year, I chose St. Sebastian as my confirmation saint.
And audience, I'll repeat the list again: JV football, JV soccer, varsity wrestling, and cross country. So to say that Jimmy loved sports, I think, is a bit of an understatement. But Jimmy, as active as you were with all those sports, they started to take a back seat once you started focusing on work and earning an income. And this is really quite interesting. Audience, I want you to pay close attention here. Jimmy, in that vein, share about what influenced you to get back into working out, because it represents what I feel is how we can easily get distracted, dare I say tempted by Satan, chasing earthly desires.
Yeah, so I think it's first worth mentioning that when I graduated high school, my career trajectory wasn't going to amount to much. I actually remember around the time I graduated just telling someone, you know, I want to make the least amount of money possible that is necessary in order to just provide for my family someday, which I wouldn't agree with that now. Like, I don't like having this minimalist point of view and doing the least that you can do with your gifts, obviously. I think part of why I said that is I didn't fit well into school the way that I am. I don't perform well when the way I'm supposed to learn is by sitting at a desk for hours and being talked at. And again, in a small town, there aren't many examples of people that are these visionary entrepreneurial people who are thriving. They're just kind of outcasts if they think the way that I think. And so when I graduated high school, I didn't really see myself amounting to much. But then over the summer, I picked up a job, and the job was selling Cutco knives, and I loved it. It was actually funny about that. It's the valedictorian of our high school. So basically the person that was given the award to say that, hey, you were going to amount to the greatest based on our standards, I kicked his butt. I beat everyone in my office, and just I started breaking sales records. And this is the real world now. Like, this is I'm participating in the real world and I'm winning and this is cool and I'm finding something that's making me feel good about myself. And there's a great culture there, but one of the downsides of that culture is it's very flashy, very much overcompensating to make yourself feel better, really just worshiping money. And so I was actually with that company for 3 years and ran one of the top offices after being a top sales rep. And I remember my next career path, I really just chose it because I wanted to work just as hard as I was working, but do it selling something besides kitchen utensils. And I figured, okay, go into the financial world. And that's what I did. But it was when I was at Northwestern Mutual that a friend of mine said, hey, you know, if you take really good care of your body and you work out and you look really strong, when you're trying to sell to people, you'll be more effective because people will respect you as a person and therefore want to do business with you. And then just therefore buy whatever you're selling. So it was a very vain reason for having any interest in getting back to working out. I really, up to that point, applied all my competitiveness towards business.
Yeah, towards sales, towards sales. At the end of the show every week, I almost always ask the guest to share about how long they've been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as about the family that they and their spouse have made. Jimmy, let's just fast forward to when you were going to become a dad, because faith-wise, you suddenly realized you had a lot of questions, but not necessarily answers, which can be scary, and then male pride enters in. But please, when was that? And take us back to what you were wrestling with mentally then.
Yeah. All right. So my wife tells me that she's pregnant, and a lot of people can relate to the feeling of, like, I remember there even being like numbness in my face, disbelief, excitement. And then, you know, as the dust settled, you start thinking of all these worries as well. And one of those things that you think about is where you thought you would be in different parts of life. So where I thought I would be as a provider, I wasn't meeting up to that standard. You know, as a dad, I always saw myself having this abundance of wealth and whatever else. Where I thought I'd be in my fitness, I always kind of saw myself and my children seeing me as Superman and them climbing all over me and me running, you know, through the park or something like that, and being able to beat up other dads kind of thing. And then also in my faith, I saw myself as someone that would probably at least have more answers in how we all got here to begin with. I do think it's funny to take a step back and look around and see people just consuming themselves with busyness and not take a step back and think like, what are we even here for to begin with, right? And I didn't want to give my children just whatever was convenient for me. At the time in my faith, by the way, it's worth mentioning that for a few years, I moved down to Charlotte. We're in the Bible Belt. There's a lot of fun churches here that are like concerts every week and like cool pastors that seem entrepreneurial and people like that, honestly, that fit that model. When my friend told me that, hey, if you look really fit and you dress well and you do all this, other people will just buy whatever you're selling. That's kind of what I was doing with these pastors in Charlotte, North Carolina. Like, these were some really cool people and I just want to be like them. And they were selling their version of Christianity. So I bought it.
Wow.
And so, you know, again, being a dad, now I'm trying to be more intentional with my faith and not just going with the flow and whatever feels good. And so I start looking to explore because I can get into the fitness part here, because this really held me accountable to being the person I wanted to be in many areas of my life. On the faith side of things, I started watching a lot of debates between theists versus atheists. And I remember being really nervous as I was about to click and watch these videos, thinking that logic, now that these two people having a logical conversation, the more logical person would almost obviously be the atheist, right? Because, you know, growing up, and again, these were public schools, you're told that science conflicts with religion and science is like the logical thing if you are forced into that dichotomy, and if science is the absence of faith. And then I started realizing, like, to believe that there is no creator at all, it's a very difficult thing to put your faith into. I think a simple analogy, I'm looking at my desk right now and the items I have on my desk, right? So I have a mouse on my desk. This mouse, if it were just to be laying on the pavement somewhere and I'd see this mouse, I could either come to the conclusion this is an object that was made it has a creator. Someone made mm-hmm. this. Someone took the pieces together, melted the thing, shaped it, put the rubber on the bottom so it's smooth and whatever else, and very intentional design. And that's one way, that's one theory I could come to think of how that mouse came to be, right? The other route I could say is like, well, you know what? The universe is infinite. And technically, within the universe, all of these particles are accessible. And with the right amount of heat, the right amount of, you know, this temperature, that temperature, and, you know, them all colliding together at once, this thing could have fallen from the sky and formed into this mouse. That just happening one time would be an unbelievable miracle, but here it is, right? But you look around the universe that we have and the world that we have, and just all that takes for a blade of grass to exist, a tree to exist, or a human to exist, to say that that was all a series of randomness is not just putting your faith into like one ridiculous miracle. It's a miracle of the number of miracles that are required to all happen at the same time and continuously. So that's just one example of one way that you can use logic to lead towards the fine-tuning argument of there being a creator to begin with.
Wow.
But yeah, so I started looking at all these theist versus atheist arguments, and I was kind of excited that, you know, it required a lot less faith in order to believe that there is a creator. And then from there, what's the least that you need to know after that? Well, it's probably looking at the resurrection. If the resurrection is true, it proves Christianity right and everything else as not just wrong, but likely even demonic, right? So it also helped me understand how I should react to seeing my friends that have these, like, you know, Buddhist monks in their houses and stuff like that. That's not just like a fat, happy guy. Like, that's evil. But yeah, so looking at the resurrection and seeing the logic around that and seeing the evidence around that and like the ridiculous amount of proof that's based around the resurrection that we could get further into, that's what brought me to Christianity. And then from there, I would say above anything else, obviously like focusing with the early church fathers' interpretation of scripture was and their practices and things, the Eucharist is the hardest thing to ignore. And it either brings you to orthodoxy, I guess, because even some Protestant denominations at one point acknowledged it and have seemed to fall away from the real presence. But obviously Catholicism stands out as the part of Christianity that is celebrating in its truest form, the same way that our early church fathers did. I tell my Protestant friends, because actually most of my friends are Protestant, I'm again in the Bible Belt, and I tell them like, hey, you have to develop some sort of opinion on this. A lot of them, they have to Google it to look it up what it is to begin with. And so they don't even have the option to choose whether it's a miracle that they believe in or not. They don't even know that it's a thing to begin with. And so I tell them, look, I'm making a claim here that I get to go to daily mass. If nothing else, I get to go to mass every Sunday. And I'm in the real presence of Jesus Christ. That is a claim that I'm making. If I told you that every Sunday I'm in the real presence of Jesus, what would you do? Would you go to your church or would you go to mine? And you obviously, unless you don't believe in what you say that you believe, like you would attend my church. But maybe you look into the history of the Eucharist and you don't actually come to the same conclusion that I came to, but you should at least develop some sort of opinion on this. Catholicism is actually the largest denomination of all denominations. There's a billion Catholics, and this is what Catholic doctrine teaches. So this isn't just Jimmy being crazy. And you should develop some sort of opinion on the Eucharist, whether it's something you are going to put your faith into or not. But you have the burden of truth now, of knowing that this is a dichotomy that you have to pick a side on. So powerful.
And folks, Jimmy, obviously, as you can tell, is very passionate about this. Let me let him exhale. And my gosh, if that's not a great testimony for rededicating yourself to your faith, if you're a young man who's about to become a father for the first time, I mean, there it is. There's a perfect case study right there. Let me restate what Jimmy is doing in January. He is in the middle of completing 3 ultramarathons in 30 days, the last of which will be at the end of this month. And the Adoration Ultra will start in Mass, then Adoration, and then he will run to other Catholic churches in Charlotte, North Carolina, and spend time in Adoration there. Wow, what a truly pure initiative. There's something else that's really quite touching. One of you wrote to me and made an observation about something that seemingly has come up over a number of episodes of this show. This individual asked to remain anonymous, but they were kind enough to make a financial gift to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, and the note that accompanied it said, quote, "The donation is in remembrance of all parents who sacrificed to send children to Catholic schools, which is a recurring theme I hear on your podcast and was my experience. Thank you for your ministry," end quote. That really meant a lot to me because it tells me that that person listens to the show regularly, absolutely is paying close attention to the conversations being had on this show, and as they said at the end, is grateful for Catholic Sports Radio. That person contributed by going on CatholicSportsRadio.net and utilizing the blue Donate to CSR button, which I'm sure they would attest to being fast, easy, and secure. They were able to decide for themselves what to type in as far as what they were comfortable giving, and voila, signed, sealed, and delivered. That being said, if you too are in fact seeing value in what I do through this ministry and it's helping your faith life and you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio and the work that I do to keep bringing you this show every week for what is almost 5 years now, if you've prayed about considering my ministry as part of your tithing yet are not comfortable putting credit card information on the internet, you can instead contact me for information on sending a check through the mail. Get in touch via the website or social media, or email me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will write you back with the relevant details. As you've heard me do in the past, I will happily say on the air the name of anyone who contributes, or if you wish, as is the case with the individual that I'm referring to here, you can ask me to keep your identity anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering supporting Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ. Folks, on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net, I'm going to put a link to the website that Jimmy has created for what you've heard me say a couple times now that he's getting ready to do. Jimmy, in your own words, tell us about this upcoming Adoration Ultra.
Yeah, I'm so excited about it, and I can at some point give some context of why I'm even like re-pursuing this childhood dream. But I wanted to find a way to weave my faith into, you know, this aspiration of being a professional athlete. And when I'm trying to chase being great in all these categories, it's best to kill two birds with one stone. Wasn't quite sure how to do it. Actually, one of my friends, the guy that founded Scent Ventures, which is a group for Catholic founders and CEOs that I'm a part of, he was actually running one of these ultras with me. And we were talking about it ahead of time. How could I weave my faith into this? He brought the idea of like, you could run to different Catholic churches and that could be really cool. And then the phrase, you know, none of these ideas like truly come from me, right? But the phrase Adoration Ultra came into my mind and that really stuck. And I love the idea of that. I love the idea of if there's any cause within my faith, what is the one thing that if I could make people more aware of it, that it would make the greatest impact? The Eucharist, I think, is that thing. It's the one thing that I'm using to unite me with all my Protestant friends, that's for sure, because again, it's something that Catholics need to be re-energized about. Protestants need to at least know about it and make their own conclusions from there. And I think that if atheists even saw, people are under the impression sometimes that we need to water our faith down in order to reach atheists. And I think that we actually need to radicalize our faith a lot more in order to reach these people, in order for them to actually like see people that really believe what they say that they believe is the most effective way of evangelization. So no, I was really excited. I put all the puzzle pieces together. There's a lot of churches in the Charlotte area that I could have gone to. And I actually just landed on all the ones that happened to have adoration that day. I worked out as a perfect little zigzag and 50 miles, and the two of them actually have perpetual adoration, which is really cool. So, and I get to end it at my home church at St. Matthew's, which is actually the largest Catholic congregation in the U.S. And they happen to that evening on the 26th have what they call family adoration that night, which is basically there's more of a service attached to that time in adoration than afterwards. There's when adoration is over, there's like, you know, coloring books for children and like a bit of a celebration afterwards. So it kind of ends perfectly.
And audience, keep in mind that as much as Jimmy is talking about this Adoration Ultra that's upcoming at the end of this month, he's in the middle of completing 3 ultramarathons in 30 days. These ultramarathons, Jimmy, sound to me like a combination of pursuing your dream of being a pro athlete, setting an example for your kids, despite how young they are, because obviously these stories will live on, and also certainly taking care of your body, staying in shape, using your God-given talent, and maybe something else that I'm leaving off. Am I on the right track here?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is, I remember as I'm trying to accomplish my dreams, like, what happened? Because at some point I did give up, right? I gave up on that childhood dream. And I think a part of what happened is, as we grow up, we're surrounded by people that have normalized failure, or normalized, because failure is okay, but not picking their sword back up, I guess, and going back at, like, that tenacity just dies. And we all become very weathered down, I think, over time. And the size of our dreams are managed by people who failed at theirs that are around us. I didn't want to be an example to my children of another person that had this big dream. That's what kids have when they enter into the world. There's no limitations on the size of their dreams. They can do anything. I didn't want to be an example of someone that had that and then just gave it up because it was too hard. So that is the number one reason above anything else of why I am re-pursuing this dream of being a pro athlete. It's because it's something that my entire life up until I became an adult, it's what I said I wanted to do. So yes, there's also the other benefits of me being in peak performance condition is going to help set the standard that they hold themselves to in their health as well. There's also a selfish benefit of, hey, like, it's really cool to wake up in the morning, have a really big goal to chase, and versus just maintenance of my body. But more than anything else, I want to be an example to my children. And then as a bonus, people outside of my immediate family, of someone that's not giving up on this childhood dream.
An audience, you heard Jimmy express an interest in joining the Facebook group. He is going to actually have this Adoration Ultra filmed. So when he has footage that he's ready to release for that, I will ask him to post a link in the Catholic Sports Radio Facebook community in the Facebook group so that you can go to wherever online he posts the footage of the Adoration Ultra. One of the many things I enjoy about doing this show every week is getting to hear about different parish work that some people are doing. Jimmy, in your case, tell us about the Eucharistic Revival Committee.
You know what? That was really cool. I made a post a year ago that has led to this really cool ripple effect where I made a post about going to daily mass, and I was just so fired up. Again, this is a product of joining a community like St. Ventures where I could channel this reinvigorated excitement about my faith and stuff. And they've given me a path of how to run a business as a Catholic CEO and just a lot of cool things, just day to day as a husband, how to do it. By the way, another cool highlight I forgot to mention was my wife actually went through RCIA last year and got confirmed Easter last year. So that was just another really cool thing because it's something I prayed for, but I tried really hard to not, you know, cram it in her face and just try my best to just, like, being a living example of someone that's excited about their faith and then allowed it to rub off. And then one day at dinner, she just told me that she reached out about joining RCIA. And I was just so excited that I was like, what is RCIA? I had to, like, just double check before I, like, got too excited that that's what it was about. Anyway, so I made this post on LinkedIn and Facebook a year ago saying how the best growth hack of 2023 was attending daily mass. And I put it that way because in the circles that I'm in as a business owner and stuff, there's so many people trying to hack success, hack meaning, and they're getting this information from all these silly gurus who, when you scratch the surface, like, their theology is just completely broken. There's no depth to these people's theology at all. And that's the people they're getting advice from. And so when I said growth hack, that was meant to appeal to the audience of friends that I have that are very, like, entrepreneurial and growth hacking and whatever else.
Yeah, they would respond to that buzzword.
Yes, yes. And, you know, because also we go to all these masterminds, what we call successful business people. And, you know, if you think about it, though, if what matters more than anything else is the salvation of our souls, the coolest mastermind to go to is seeing all the old people in daily mass every day. Like, they're the ones that are, if you want to get into a circle of people that are successful in the area that matters most, that is the coolest place to show up to. And that's actually one of the points that I had, like, seven different points. One of them is I bring my oldest son with me and, you know, gives my wife a bit of a break. And that's, like, another cool benefit that comes with that. But So I made this post, and I used to serve on a board of a school with the principal of St. Matthew's Catholic Elementary School. And he commented on it, and therefore other people in the church saw it, and staff members wanted to talk to me. And I think what they saw is that I'll be 30 next month, and I keep popping out babies. So I seem like the kind of guy that they would like to clone, and so they want me to be more involved in the church. So long story short, St. Matthew's has done an awesome job of trying to just find things to throw me into, and I give them that invitation as well. I say, hey guys, that's the one area of my life I could be doing more things directly for the church. So they invited me to the Eucharistic Revival Committee. Obviously, you know, there's the big conference coming up this year, and if we're being honest, like, half of those meetings are about how to restore people's belief in the Eucharist, and then the other part of it is, how do we attract more young families? That's the other reason that they have me there. It's like me, this other mom, and then a lot of church leadership that are in these meetings. So I'm kind of representing the dads that they're trying to attract.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. Well, since you just mentioned her in the context of RCIA, as we get set to close, I think it's so wonderful that in the lead up to today, you told me that you married your high school prom queen. Go ahead and share about the journey through holy matrimony and the family that the two of you have made and are still making.
Yes. So let's see. We met in ninth grade, and she really didn't like me. It's fortunate, but it's also unfortunate. This is permanent now that, like, it all worked out, because now I have to explain my strategies for picking up girls in ninth grade. One of the things I did, I would like constantly move her chair, or I would, while she's trying to pay attention while the teacher's, you know, talking, or I would like poke her, and I would just like poke her like a kindergartner would poke a little girl that they like. And I would just annoy her. And she told me later on that she would, like, you know, tell her parents how annoying this Jimmy kid is. Eventually, I think it was like our junior year, we shared a class together. We were shoved in at a table where we sat next to each other and started to become friends. Enough so that when her dad asked her to ask a couple of boys from her school to help them out with their Christmas tree farm, she asked if I could help out with that. And so I started doing that and becoming friends with her and their family and becoming closer with them. Eventually, we're going on hikes together, just her and I. And what's funny to me is that she is such a pure-hearted person that when we're spending time alone together and going on what very obviously looks like a date, she is just seeing me as a friend the whole time. Eventually, homecoming night, you know, is when we kissed for the first time. That was in the fall. Pretty much started dating shortly after that. Became prom king, prom queen. After we graduated high school, we were kind of like just going very different directions, and we actually parted ways for a year. She never thought she would be together with me ever again. That was her intention, is to like move on from me for sure. But it became very clear to me during that period of time that she was definitely the one. I wouldn't have allowed us to break up. It was up to me. She, like, she kind of had no choice but to eventually spend the rest of her life with me. But during that time, when I was a manager at Vector Marketing selling Cutco knives, I had interviewed over those couple of years, like about 1,600 people, and managed a good chunk of that, and half of those being women that were my age, and really not having anywhere near the same level of interest in them as I ever had in her. And that's another thing that just gave me the conviction that she was the one. And once I had my target locked in, she eventually became my wife.
And how many years have the two of you been married now?
Oh, let's see. So it's going to be 3 years. Oh my gosh. No, I'm wrong. All right. Don't edit this, but it should be edited. It's going to be 4 years at the end of March in 2024. We had actually had a pretty wild wedding where it was March of 2020. So at that stage,
boy,
who knows what's going on?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that's pretty wild. We had like 12 people initially. We kind of did two weddings, actually. One of them was more like a wedding and one was more like ceremony with more people later on, but that was pretty wild.
And fast forward to present day, you have, if I have this correct, a 2-year-old, a 1-year-old, and another on the way?
Oh, did I say that? Yeah. So I think this will launch in the time where Morgan and I will come to the conclusion that it's okay for the rest of the world to know that. So yes, we have two boys. Cassius is 2.5 years old. Lucius, so Cassie and Lucy, Cash and Luce. Lucius is about 13 months old. And yeah, we're expecting another one mid-July. So we'll have three right at three.
And audience, please be in prayer for Jimmy and his wife as they prepare for child number three. And make note, folks, of the fact that Jimmy said that he chose Saint Sebastian as his confirmation saint, and it's only by the Lord's hand that he should be in the guest seat on an episode that comes out January 22nd, which, oh, by the way, just happens to be 2 days after the feast day of Saint Sebastian. So we are going to close in just a second with the prayer of Saint Sebastian, the patron saint of athletes. But Jimmy, first, thank you ever so much for being on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family and audience. Let's all be in prayer for Jimmy as he heads at the end of this month for his Adoration Ultra. God bless you, Jimmy.
God bless. Thank you.
So folks, let's pray this together, the prayer to Saint Sebastian, the patron saint of athletes, and do it together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear commander at the Roman Emperor's court, you chose to be also a soldier of Christ and dared to spread faith in the King of Kings, for which you were condemned to die. Your body, however, proved athletically strong and the executing arrows extremely weak. So another means to kill you was chosen, and you gave your life to the Lord. May athletes be always as strong in their faith as their patron saint so clearly has been. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.